so you asked, and now the Steven Universe cast and crew are answering. Hey, I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and in this episode of the Steven Universe podcast, we're celebrating the fandom. It's for you and thanks to you, as the cast and crewniverse tackle questions that you guys submitted. We've got some great questions and an equally great lineup to answer them. Matthew Moy, who voices Lars, storyboard artist Lamar Abrams, Zach Callison, who voices Steven, Michaela Dietz, the voice of Amethyst, and Didi Magno-Hall, who voices Pearl. But first, one of the newest storyboard artists to join the crewniverse, and the one responsible for storyboarding and writing a lot of The Question and Reunited, Mickey Brewster. You're here to answer some fan questions. So the first one comes from After Pink Diamond, and they want to know, who's your favorite character to storyboard?
That would be either Ruby or Amethyst. Amethyst because I just like her, and I think she looks really cute, and Ruby because she's so excitable.
Yeah.
She's really fun to act. And her square head is cute and kind of easy to draw.
True.
Okay, cool. Anonymous wants to know, how do you come up with the way that each character will respond to a new situation? Just like thinking of all the different ways they could react and then choosing one.
I always try to think about what a fan who really, really loves this character would want to see. Because I feel like when you love a character, you can watch a show for that character and you'll just be delighted to see them being themselves because that's what you love about them. So I try to pick what feels the most unique to them. Like if I draw four characters reacting to something, I would want them to be unique in some way, unless whatever they're reacting to is so broad that they would actually feel the same way about it.
Yeah. Cool. I didn't expect that.
Oh.
Fan approach. That's awesome. So, next question is from Tall, Pale, and Anxious. They want to know what kind of motifs in music or design are most interesting to you.
I think I am really drawn to a lot of the gem architecture that's on Earth. Like the old kind of overgrown temples and that sort of thing, or like the overgrown dungeons and like the crashed ships. I've always really liked adventure games and Dungeons and Dragons and that sort of thing, and that's what it reminds me of.
That's awesome. Yeah, it does feel like a D&D map.
But yeah, it's just inspiring. It just makes you want to run around in there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Last question is from Lou, who wants to know, if you were in the Steven Universe world, what do you think your gem weapon would be?
This question is so cute. I think I would want to have a great sword because, number one, they're really cool. And two, I want everything I do to hit really hard.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
That would be really cool. We haven't seen something like that.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Nice OC. Okay, cool. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me.
Yeah, thank you.
And next up, to answer some more fan questions, Matthew Moy, who voices Lars, and storyboard artist Lamar Abrams. All right, I'm here with Matthew Moy and Lamar Abrams. So first up, first question I have is from Trust Speak Fight. Which character would you have resonated with most as a child?
I would say Pearl or Lars. Just for Pearl, she worries so much and I worry a lot as a person.
I think for me, maybe Sapphire. She's very like observant, and I feel like I was like a quiet and observant child, and I just kind of wanted to like handle things in a way that was like, I don't know, diplomatic and like calm, and you know, sometimes that can be like a negative thing for some people, but I think I would have like identified with her like the most. It's just like, yeah, she's just trying to like make everybody understand, even though she sounds cold and analytical, but I don't know, I think that's a cool trait to have.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Next question is from Marley SB. What was the hardest scene to voice act for?
For me, it was when Lars became the space captain. That was such a dramatic switch, and I'm so used to being insecure, complex Lars, flat of teen angst, and then all of a sudden when he's this captain, he's so confident, and he like knows all this space lingo. And I think also I had this my own image in my head. I kept doing like William Shatner. I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's wrong. That's wrong.
It's not the only way to do that.
Yeah, I know.
For me, it wasn't an episode with Buck because he's got a pretty like chill demeanor. It's never like, you know, his voice isn't ever pushed too hard. But I voiced.
I love Buck.
Thank you.
I love Buck.
Outside of Buck, I got to voice one of the Zoomins. I believe it's J10. I always get them mixed up. It's J10 and Y6. But Zoomin's voice is so like energetic and like he's just like exuberant and happy, and it was really tiring to do that for like a whole like session and just like keep it up. And I was like, wow, people, you know, have they voice characters that like yell all the time and like scream and stuff, and like how do they do this? Like I'm tired just like saying like hi like in a really like intense, you know, way, and like just sounding like really over the top all the time. So that was probably the zoom in voice was probably the hardest one for me.
Right. Okay, cool. Next question is from Riley. They want to know, how much do you feel for your character and the situations they're in? Like, how much can you relate to them?
Well, as an actor, you know, you just have to relate to them somehow. So you're able to do it. So once you can do that, you know, it's a pretty successful feeling.
Yeah, I think, too, it's like, you know, you get in there and you, like, look at the lines. So you kind of have to take a moment to think about your own, like, tone. And, like, there's a lot to consider. And I... personally, I don't feel like it's as much as relating as just trying to get across the correct feeling. Even if you can't relate, like if you can get across the right feeling in the tone of your voice and the way you're acting. And, you know, like, you know, Rebecca is there and there's people there to, you know, you do a couple of line reads. It's like, you know, try it, you know, have Buck sound more disinterested, have him sound kind of excited, but you know, it's still within.
Wait, have
the
you
Buck
ever gone
range.
That direction? Can you make Buck more disinterested?
Yeah, I think so, but just like it's like, you know, I'll read it and it's like, oh, that one's good, maybe try it in a lower tone. Okay, that one's good, try it in a higher tone. That one's good,
right?
And then they have to pick one that fits the best, so you kind of, you know, you get used to doing a voice, the same voice in a lot of different ways to make sure it kind of comes across right. So I think so long as it comes across right in the end, you don't necessarily have to relate too hard.
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah. Next question is from Ray, who wants to know, what kind of antics do you, do the voice actors get up to in the booth? And if you have any funny or memorable times recording?
Oh, man. You know, this one time I remember, so how long have we been doing the show now? For like
5 years.
5 years. So I think on year four, I met Estelle for the first time.
Oh my God.
The only time I've ever recorded with maybe 80% of the cast was the pilot. Mm-hmm. I remember Estelle wasn't there, but Zach was there. All the other gems were there.
Yeah.
Kate was there. And I was there. But I've never met Estelle. So after 4 years, and I'm like a big puppy dog when I meet people. I'm like, hey, Estelle, nice to meet you. I'm Matt. I play Lars. Ah, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off. And Estelle just looks at me and she goes, hey, Lars, nice to finally meet you. And that was it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward, but I love this.
It sounds almost like that's what Garnet would say to Lars.
I know.
If
it was so freaking wild. I was like, oh my gosh, we're all the same.
That's really funny. I met Estelle recently as well after like not ever seeing her. I think I saw her walking down the street one day, like I was going to get lunch and I saw this
woman. That's random. It wasn't even in the studio.
I think she was like maybe going to get a bite as well and was coming back. And like I saw this woman with like, you know, glasses on and I was like, wow, she looked cool. And then I like realized like, wait, was that Estelle? And I didn't say hi. I should have. I was like, she's never around. I need to. And then I like felt bummed. I eventually met her. But I remember this one time I was voicing Buck with, is it Brian Posehn, Sour Cream, and Reagan Gomez, who does Jenny and Kiki and Jenny.
Yeah.
I think Buck and Jenny are supposed to be like egging Sour Cream on, and we had to kind of like make up this like quick like, go, Sour Cream, do it. Like we had to kind of make up this like little song in the background, and like characters were talking over it while they were doing that. Like Sour Cream was dropping a beat and they were just like, yeah, you're so cool, buddy. Yeah, do it. And I don't know, that was kind of a fun little like kind of improvised moment that sticks out in my head right now.
That's fun. Yeah, when you get to do those side things, the side walla that nobody hears.
Yeah, I really like side walla because you can kind of just say whatever, and I don't know, you kind of hope someone hears it, like someone watching is like, huh, that's funny, like,
yeah.
Like they just notice. But yeah, that was fun.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I have another question from Anonymous. They want to know if you could sum up your character in one quote or moment from the show, what would it be?
Oh, man.
If you don't say bingo bongo, I'm going to be a little disappointed. I'm not going to lie.
Does that sum up Lars, though?
No.
Lars isn't just like a bingo bongo, I'm done, seal the deal. No, he's not like that. He's more than a complicated fellow.
Yeah.
This is what sums up Lars. Lars.
Just like grunting.
Steven. That's Lars.
Okay,
that's
okay.
Lars' inner monologue all the time. Steven, what did you get me into?
That's perfect.
One of the first lines I wrote for Buck, I think Steven is observing the cool kids while they're inside the pizza shop and Lars is like afraid to go in there, and you kind of overhear Jenny telling the story, and Buck's first line is like, that's nasty, I don't like nasty stuff. And I feel like he's said, like, you know, that's nasty, like, that's after nasty. That like, and I guess that sums up Buck, like he's not like, oh, gross. He's just like, that's nasty. No, like
so judgmental. Ooh.
But still, like, yeah. Like he won't like run away screaming. He'll just like be like, nah, that's not for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Another question from Anonymous. They want to know, what would you say has been your top favorite episode to be a part of?
Oh man, that's so hard. There were so many good ones.
Mm.
Gosh, I mean, Lars of the Stars was so cool. The baking episode was cool because I love baking too. Wow. So I was like, oh my gosh, we're both bakers. And the whole Wanted arc was cool. I don't know. That's really hard.
I don't know either. I guess the episode that stands out to me right now is Buck. Is Mayor Dewey running for mayor again? And he's making t-shirts with Steven.
Oh, yeah.
They're
shooting them out of the cannons.
Shirt club.
Yeah. I think Buck is using, like, Steven's art for the shirt, right? And he's kind of, like, laughing at it. Not laughing, but he's just like,
yeah,
the art is bad and it's funny. It's like this weird ironic art thing. And
yeah, it's like ironic.
And it kind of hurts Steven's feelings. And then Steven goes on, like, a t-shirt cannon spree and, like, some people are laughing at Buck's artwork that's on the shirt because he like made his dad a poster when he was younger, so it was kind of flipped on him, and Buck sheds a single tear at the end.
Oh yes, I remember that.
From behind his glasses.
I remember that too.
And it's like, wow, he does have emotions, like, even though he's like monotone and, you know, I don't know, like sometimes you see his eyes, sometimes you don't. You never know what he's feeling, but I think that was a fun episode because it was like a Buck and Mayor Dewey focused episode. So you kind of get to see his
relationship
relationship to his dad, and like, you know, him and Steven kind of became closer as friends, and they got to understand each other. So that one was fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for answering all these fan questions.
No problem.
Thank you.
And coming up, Zach Callison, who voices Steven, Michaela Dietz, the voice of Amethyst, and Dee Dee Magno Hall, who voices Pearl, are all stepping up to answer a few more of your questions. All right, I'm here with Dee Dee Magno Hall, voice of Pearl, Michaela Dietz, the voice of Amethyst, and Zach Callison, the voice of Steven. Thank you guys for joining me.
Yeah.
Hey. So happy to be here.
Awesome. So we got some fan Q&A for you guys. So let's just kick it off with Jennifer. Now they want to know, what is something that you think your favorite Steven Universe character would never say aloud?
Can I get a double double with cheese, please? I feel like Amethyst would never say, I love you.
Oh,
no, that's not
really
true.
I feel like
I feel like she She would show it a different way.
Yeah, some people have a hard time saying
it. She wouldn't say it. She would show it, but I don't know if she'd say it. Make you guys sad that I said that?
I had a really dark one. I feel like Steven wouldn't. I feel like he doesn't have true feelings of love towards his mom. I feel like he just doesn't know her like that, but he would never admit it.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry.
I mean, there's obviously an emotional connection, and she's important in his life, but they've literally never met, and it's caused all these tough things.
I'm for real crying right now.
Okay,
I thought this was gonna be like the double answers from Didi. I thought that was gonna be the vibe for this question.
Okay, okay.
You need another one.
Wait.
I'll
give you another one.
I was not prepared.
I'll give you another one from Amethyst. So after Didi said hers, I could say, I think Amethyst would say, "No, thank you, I've had enough." She would never say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like Steven would never be like, "This food is terrible, take it back." He would never send food back at a restaurant.
Yeah.
He's just silently like just trying to eat. So different from what he ordered. If I close my eyes, these peas do taste like pizza and
chew, swallow.
He's so polite.
Oh. Okay, cool. Next question is from Lou. They want to know, if you were in the Steven Universe world, what do you think that your gym weapon would be?
Probably like anime style, like gunblade.
Ooh.
Like a musket.
Mine would be like a cannon that shoots out the bits. It'd be like, brrr, the bits. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm answering this correctly, but I put down antibacterial spritzer.
That fights crime, man.
I mean, fights germs.
That's some real stuff.
That's
maybe.
Perfect.
Potent.
It's good to always have on hand. That's very practical. I like
so
it.
So in character.
Okay. Let's move to the next one. Anonymous wants to know, what is the most fun part of your job?
This right here.
Yes.
Seeing friends.
Yes.
Aww. Also seeing Zach and Didi. Just kidding. They are my friends.
Oh.
I just got that.
Very sweet.
Yeah, the banter like this in all situations is my favorite. Like whether we're in the studio or, you know, at San Diego Comic-Con, like that's it. Yeah.
I'm getting so many wrinkles from being in the room with these guys. From smiling and laughing.
Are we stressing you out?
Wrinkles from smiling and laughing. That's what I mean.
Perfect. Okay. Next question is from Marley SB. They want to know, what was the hardest scene to voice act for?
I would just say in general, screaming. Screaming for me in the records is always stressful for my voice, especially if it's paired with maybe a song. I don't know. It's usually not, but yeah, that's for me, that's what it is.
For me, sometimes it's the speaking parts in between, like within a song, because I find that whenever there's music and then we talk, I always like slip into this like Broadway thing. I'm like, wait, that's not Amethyst. What am I doing?
You're also on like a really tight clock for those because they have to like fit them into a certain amount of time.
Yeah. The timing of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say the one at the end of Steven and the Stevens with 100 Stevens like fighting each other was... It was kind of hard. It took so much time and it was a lot of screaming. So it was very, very strenuous.
But you did it.
Yeah, you did.
Why, thank you.
Successfully.
Okay, cool. Next question is from Ray. They want to know, do you remember any particularly funny moments from when you were recording?
No, none, zero.
We don't have fun or funny.
We don't do the laughing thing. This is a serious show, guys.
It's a very somber mood we try to.
There's so much laughter. They're joking all the time. Laughter and laughter. I think efforts are the most fun for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, the one time when Robert kept looping that one effort noise you did for like a couple my other favorite story is when... Kent and Rebecca had Matt Burnett go buy jumbo-sized marshmallows so Grace and I could make proper, like, chubby bunnies type like mouthful noises.
Because During the middle of the record, he went and got them?
Yeah, we, like, moved on from that section, and then he, like, ran down to, like, the grocery store down the street, got them. And they were, like, It must have been like
the jumbo?
Christmas or something. They had these like jumbo novelty sized marshmallows. We could fit like two, maybe three in our mouths. And it worked.
Oh, also, I have to burp sometimes, and that is hard for me to do on cue.
If you ever need, I burp on cue. If you need me to like sub in for burps, I'll tag in.
A dub.
That'd be great. Like a pinch burper. That was Zach. That was so good. No.
The first one was Dee Dee.
That wasn't a real one, though.
Oh my god.
That was me. Burp.
Okay, next question is from Anonymous. They want to know, what would you say has been your top favorite episode to be a part of?
So many to list.
As far as like episodes that I was like proud to be a part of, Mr. Greg and Jailbreak, like really landmark episodes, yeah. Like those. Jailbreak mm-hmm. particularly was like a huge turning point for the show, and I love.
Yeah, I was going to say Mr. Greg.
I'm sorry, I stole your answer.
No. That's what I was just going to say. That was mine.
Yeah, mostly because of your section with It's Over. Isn't it? Like that's like 80% of why that's my favorite.
Mostly because of your section. Okay,
no, you're great. You're great. No, you're great. Mine was maybe the Ruby Rider one.
Yeah,
and then with the engagement at the end, it was just
nice shirt.
Yes, just great.
The wedding episode actually is another one because that was a big turning point. And Let's Only Think About Love is like. Probably the most difficult song I've done today. It's very challenging, but I love it.
I love hearing you sing that song.
Yeah, it's great.
I love all your songs.
It's almost 4 minutes, I think.
I love all the songs.
I love all your songs. I love all the songs, all of them.
Okay, cool. Next question is from Andrew. They want to know, how is recording for a video game different from recording for the show?
Oh, it's so different, I think.
For one, I mean, the normal crew isn't there. It's a different crew working on the game VO.
Yeah, different voice director.
Grumpy
yeah.
face.
And I feel like actually, in a way, they depend on us a little more to know because they know that we know our characters. So while there are lines, they also are like, oh, yeah, if you think of, you know, what do you think she would say in this point? Or I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, they trust us because obviously, like, the storyboard artists and the directors, like, over here, they know the show just as much, even better than we do. But they're from an outside place, so they rely on us, which can be cool because it's like, you know, we have that insight on our own characters. It's also, they do a lot more like banking of sounds for video games. There's way more effort noises involved and way more like, you know, weird command prompts for the player. There's a lot of like little details that you have to add into a video game that you don't necessarily need for the show.
Yeah, a lot more like jumping up on
variety
onto
of
it.
Efforts and stuff.
Also, we're not in the room together.
That's
too. Sad. Me. So we cry the whole time. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So next question is from Joy. I really like this one. They want to know, if you could write your own episode, what would it be about and what would your character be doing?
Disclaimer, don't let me do this because it's going to be a mess.
Oh, no. Okay. If I could write an episode, I would write an episode about the Crystal Gems writing a cartoon episode. About themselves. And so clever. And Pearl would be like, ooh, and then I could say a joke. You know, like, I feel like she'd be like, and then I'd be the comic relief.
And at some point in the episode, they all have to like slowly turn, stare, look at camera, and then like, come back and like just break the fourth wall for a second.
Totally.
I think one of the reasons why I like Mr. Greg so much is because it's a very musical episode. And I think that if I were to write one, it would be all music. Like, the whole thing is sung. Mm-hmm. And
I love that.
And we would have some sort of like, kind of like a magic carpet ride type thing, because I liked that episode where Lapis Lazuli was taking Steven around, flying him around
like over New Jersey.
Yeah, same
New
Jersey. Old world, yeah.
Get out of our sky, you mooks.
And I kind of want to see the whole Steven universe. I want to see the whole world and with through music.
Oh,
I love
beautiful.
That.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be fun?
That's awesome.
I feel like
from the sky, you know, like we're
Mine is so crude in comparison. I want like a like a gritty like B-Cob detective Steven and Peridot like like take down a mob boss type episode, and they like have sunglasses and they're like talking in deeper voices like this, and those clouds are gonna get what's coming to them. Like, just like a really gritty detective. But and they fuse at the end because I've been trying to get that Steven Peridot fusion done.
Wait, say your theory. Say your theory. It's
okay. I keep shouting this to the heavens. I want the Steven Peridot fusion to be, instead of double the size, half the size. For true shorty squad representation. And, you know, when they need somebody to, like, sneak through the air ducts instead of blasting through the front door, Steven and Peridot. When they need somebody that's, like, a little sassier, Steven and Peridot. There's a lot of utility to this fusion that I feel like could be utilized. Yeah.
I love it.
I would like to see this episode.
Thank you. I feel valued.
That would be perfect. Okay. Yeah, I really love that question. Next one is from Cyan, who wants to know... is there any food Amethyst doesn't like?
I mean, my guess is anything with nutritional value, any superfoods. I don't know, or anything that like kind of lacks, like textural integrity. I feel like it's all about, you know, it's like an exercise. It's like something to do. And if it's just baby food, that's not fun to her.
Like applesauce. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's not going to like chug applesauce. Let's be real. Yeah. Although she knows. I've been known to do it on occasion.
chug.
Okay, one more question. This one is from Andrew, and they want to know, how would Gems react to the concept of jewelry?
This is so funny.
I've seen this speculated about a lot by the fandom, actually, which is pretty fun.
Like, in a way, it seems like it's one of those baby Bjorns, you know? Like, maybe they could just carry their friend around with them. Like, it's like the same concept of, like...
Like
you know?
A Tamagotchi?
Yeah, like it might be fun if Amethyst could just like tromp around Beach City with like all our friends on her wrist, you know? I don't know. Could be fun.
It's like oh they might God. Think we're like keeping them as pets, and that's really messed up.
I know. Yeah,
like if you brought Homeworld Gems to Earth, that they'd be horrified and think we were this terrible civilization that's like enslaving their people, so they'd be really angry.
Yeah.
That's why Homeworld's upset, actually. That's the plot of
that's why everything happened. Because of a chain.
But when they get poofed, you know, so when they're still that gem form, maybe that would be the only time they could be used as jewelry. Mm-hmm. Because they're keeping them close and safe.
Oh.
Actually, yeah.
That's you know. Dee Dee. That's brilliant.
But what happens? Does like the locket like break when they come back out and like?
I don't know.
I was gonna say
because you know you can put them in your pocket and then maybe have a hole in your pocket and then lose them, and so I think the jewelry idea might be
like walking down the street like, hey man, nice necklace. Oh yeah, these are my cousins.
Yeah. They're like, this is Brandon. This is Brandon. They say what up. Let's be real though, Bismuth. I feel like would have a bedazzled fanny pack. She's so functional and fashionable.
That's right? Practical. Like, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe a pearl pouch.
All right. That's all the fan questions I got. Thank you guys so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thanks for the great questions.
Thank you.
The Steven Universe podcast is produced by Charles Abadji, Stacey Pera, and Conrad Montgomery. Special thanks to Rob Sorcher, Cartoon Network Studios, The Crooniverse, and Turner Studios in Atlanta. And thanks to all of you guys for listening every week. We really appreciate it. You can listen and subscribe to the Steven Universe podcast for free at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on Amazon and Google Smart Speakers. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I'll see you next time.
Are you interested in learning how enterprise-scale companies drive organic traffic to increase their online visibility? Then download the Voices of Search podcast. From the heart of Silicon Valley, hear Search Metrics Inc. CEO Jordan Cooney as he delivers actionable insights into how to use data to navigate the ever-changing landscape of Google, Apple, and Amazon. The Voices of Search podcast arms search engine marketers and business analysts with the latest news and insights they need to navigate the ever-changing landscape of search engine optimization and content marketing. Are you ready to learn how to use search data to find strategic insights about your competition and your industry as a whole? Then search for Voices of Search wherever you download your podcasts. That's three simple words, Voices of Search, to learn the secrets of search engine and content marketing.